everybody. Welcome. Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside. We'll take you to 3 and hand it off to our buddy Phil Benatti on a Thursday, as usual, at Fashion Furniture. Another good friend, Rod Avedicki, in the great conversation of Phil's show behind the bench for the full 3 hours. Best furniture on the planet. Good eats as well. Great opportunity to stop in, ask Phil a question in person, and check out the furniture. El Paso across from River Park, of course. Also, you can give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. And that is exactly how we're going to bring Jack Furtig up a day late because of the Giants yesterday being in the time slot to talk basketball and a few other things today. We'll get to that in just a second. A couple of reminders here up front. One, if you're on your way home a little bit early at 2:06 in about 30 seconds to be precise on this Thursday, and you're looking for early dinner, late lunch, whatever it might be, don't forget about our friends at KFC, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Really appreciate them jumping aboard the Fresno State train. You know, we're going to play a Kansas team that just got a handy $300 million donation from the same guy, by the way, David Booth, that spent about $50 million to help them renovate the stadium and also got his name on the stadium because of it. Nice gig if you could get it. But we really appreciate everybody at the local KFCs for jumping aboard the Bulldog Bread Collective. And right now, KFC celebrating the outstanding movie that Brad Pitt took 3 years to put together with the producers. That is F1, the movie all about Formula One racing. To celebrate that, the $7 Phillips are back at KFC for a limited time. That means you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each with drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. So check that out. Also, don't forget, the peaches and cream sweet lightning soda is there to try as well. That's brand new. And in addition to that $7 offer, you still have the outstanding $10 eight-piece bucket offer on Tuesdays, eight pieces dark meat chicken original recipe, or, of course, extra crispy, or the original recipe tenders, eight of those for $10. So take your choice there. Great deals at KFC, as always. And one more time, if you stop by in Fresno, Clovis, Selmer, Kerman, tell them as you pick up a bucket or two, thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State, which is Bulldog Bread Collective, which I'll tell you about a little bit later on. The other reminders, one comes courtesy of our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Just mentioned that Lee's has the Lee's Air Hotline where you can call Phil, or also I'll bring Jack Furtig up in a moment. But Lee's every day affords me the time to bring you the weather. Again, great local people. They have been in the Central Valley in Northern California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. As far as forecast goes, not bad right now for this time of year. 98 today, 99 tomorrow, 96 Saturday, then we go 94, 96, 97. We, if the forecast is accurate, will not see another 100-degree day until a week from yesterday, and then it'll go up at 102, 104, 102 toward the end of next week. But for the 7 day, right now it looks pretty good right up until the end, and again, enjoy it. The winds are going to be up a little bit, which I hope will clear out the haziness, although it can enhance the chance for fires. And once again, you still have the wildfires, Central Coast, and particularly Southern California. Be careful if you're going into those areas and be aware of what might float into this area, anywhere in this area, if the winds change. So again, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you the weather. Again, LeesAir.com or 825-5337, 825-Lees for more information. Are the other two reminders. One, our good friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating 25th anniversary of his great business. He has been a booster at Fresno State, Joe has, for 3 decades. His business at 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Suite 103, or by phone 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Terrific entity specializing in pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses. It's all there in-house under one roof. terrific suction hoses along with the food-grade chemical hoses, everything you need in that regard. But the main benefit of what Joe does and Gabe, who works for Joe, is able to do is if you have a problem, particularly one with a valve, if you're a plant person, a maintenance worker, anybody who is working around a boiler, for instance, if a valve goes down, your delivery service can go down, your business can go down, and your bottom line can come crashing down in a big hurry. And what Joe is able to do is contact him, he'll analyze your problem, he'll get you a estimate right away, and then he will look at a same-day solution to make sure that if you haven't fallen by the wayside, that you don't, and if you're already there, he can get you back up and running in a big, big hurry. Again, give him a call, 266-747-3266-PIPE, or stop by 4529 North Marley Avenue in Town Suite 103. When you're there, if you have time after you deal with your issues business-wise, Joe will tell you what he does for Fresno State. And right now, the best way to go about it, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. And by the way, I do want to mention here before I forget, our good friend Eddie Hughes has a really nice story at GoBulldogs.com right now all about the new national ad that's running for Fresno State. You'll see it during the Fox telecast and see it throughout the year. A really good piece of work, and I appreciate Eddie taking time to write up the exact mode by which this was put together. So it's a really nice piece to read and obviously check out on YouTube, or as it airs over air, check out the great commercial that is there to promote Fresno State. It's very well done. Again, at GoBulldogs.com, you have a donate link at the top. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then also under ways to give the individual sports clubs. Quarterback Club for football, by the way, to kick off dinner tonight. I hope people are going and they've bought a table so they can be part of the festivities. Very important. And a good chance to meet Matt Ensign and the entirety of the team before they take off for Lawrence, Kansas next week, and then home the following week against Georgia Southern. I'll talk to Jackson more about that tomorrow. But you have at GoBulldogs.com, in addition to quarterback club, timeout club for men's basketball is there. Jack will be with me to talk about this in just a moment, talking about the basketball team. Jack Furtigan, the board of directors there, said more members are wanted. Best way, 559-287-3305. Call him directly on his cell or FurtigJack@AOL.com. You also have different links for men's sports in addition to football and basketball, Dugout Club, for instance, for baseball, and also women's sports as well under ways to give. And then finally, as we mentioned, the aforementioned Bulldog Bread Collective, which we bring up all the time. Very important. Marcus McMarion took over. Chris started it at the station, handed it off to Marcus, doing a wonderful job. Any donation, big or small, for NIL, any sponsorship idea, contact Marcus. BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. And finally, speaking of donating to Fresno State, want to acknowledge our buddy Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. They allow us the time a little bit later in the show to tell you about the upcoming schedule for both 790 and 1430. Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And we mention this over and over again. The great fundraiser that Ed has had for the past several years for Fresno State through the Lyles College of Engineering. Ed, a proud graduate there, and a lot of the folks that work at Precision also graduates of the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State. They have, through the air the last 4 years, calculated every yard gained at home, and a donation has been given at the end of the year for that number. And again, it's called Engineering Yardage. The goal is to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully, and it's the template, really, for those that want to get involved with their individual business, because you can sometimes look at things and view it from a monolithic standpoint and say, wow, we can't do that because we're not this big corporate structure. What Ed has proven is you can take a very successful local business, a burgeoning business, a very big business, but local root, and be able to structure something that benefits Fresno State and also benefits your company as well. And so it's a great way for other businesses in the Valley to look at the way you can go about this to benefit Fresno State. And needless to say, when you see folks like what Booth is doing at Kansas and $300 million coming the way of the Jayhawks, you start to say it's going to take a grassroots effort here. That is an aberration. That is not the norm, but you certainly can build a great numbers game here of individual businesses if everybody will get involved. Anyway, thanks to everybody at Precision for everything they do for us. Thanks to Precision Civil Engineering, again, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating and Roofing, and the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All that having been said, let's turn to Jack Furtig right now and get started with the conversation about basketball and other things. Jack, how you doing?
I'm not as well as Booth, but I'm doing pretty well.
Well, that's where we're going to start, by the way, because Ramon had asked, and it's a legitimate question. He said, look, you and Jack have talked a lot about the inequity of NIL and the lack of guardrails and the fact that every time somebody tries to stop it, the courts overrule it. And Ramon said his question is, since you guys, meaning you and I, brought up the fact that the NCAA from the outset in the 60s, and really if you want to trace it back, there's always been the under-the-table kind of routine going on. We've seen it come to a head as it did with SMU in the early 80s, etc. But there's always been the concern by everybody that given boosters would have undue influence over schools, not just to benefit them, but also to dictate who the coaches might be, who the athletic director might be, who might play, all of those concerns. And what Ramon wants to know, because if you want to look at the genesis, let's go back to UCLA's basketball, Jack. When the Bruins, as you know, won the first couple of national titles, it was a surprise. Wouldn't have been there a good long while, but they hadn't won a title. And they won with, by and large, local guys around SoCal in 64 in that area. But a couple of years in, Kareem, then Lou Alcindor, comes out of Power Memorial High School in New York, is the most coveted recruit ever at that time, and may still be to this day the most coveted recruit. And as you know, Jack, at that time, you did not have players moving all the way across country. You didn't have national coverage. You didn't have all of this. And it raised an eyebrow or two. There's no doubt. And what Ramon was saying was, since we've made the point that Lucius Allen, who's from Kansas City, on those teams, said, hey, he thinks Kareem would have left for New York if not for Sam Gilbert, if not for the benefactor making it comfortable, and I use that term in all advisement. And what Ramon wants to know, Jack, is why is it then that Congress and everybody didn't get together and say that, as we've brought up in the past, playing sports at a collegiate level is not a right, it's an opportunity. So why couldn't they have referred to it as a voluntary endeavor and made all schools just sign truly an association agreement that nobody was going to step out of bounds and that there wasn't going to be anything beyond the approval of the masses collegiately, therefore the courts would have to stay out of it? Jack, do you have an answer for why that did not happen? Did they not think this was coming? You would think they would have, right?
No. It's an easy reason why they didn't do that. It's because they keep score.
So they wanted to be the ones who – they wanted to be the haves, is what you're saying. They wanted the fairness to them only, right?
Yeah, you want to win. I mean, you want to do whatever's going to help you win. And that's, you know, as long as they're keeping score – you have winners and losers. And that's what's going to happen. But to your point, the first championship Wooden won, Walt Hazard was on the team.
That's correct.
Who was who is from Overbrook High School.
Right, Philly. Will Chamberlain's best buddy. Yes, yeah.
Right. So there, you know, there's.
But they had Kenny Washington and guys too around there. Is what I'm saying.
Right.
Jack.
It
wasn't. You didn't look. You and I both know because we're old enough to remember. It just didn't happen. You know, I remember when John Wallace left L.A. to go play in the Big East, and it was a big deal back in the early 80s, if you remember, or late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
But you know this, in the 60s, guys just didn't go all the way across country, not the best player in the country. Kareem stays somewhere in the Northeast, probably in the New York area. At the very least, he goes down Tobacco Road. He doesn't go all the way to L.A. Now, I'm not saying, Jack, that Kareem was paid. He wasn't. He was and always has been and still is an extraordinarily intelligent individual. And there were things about being in Los Angeles that he wanted to experience. But without doubt, when teammates say he probably would have left if not for the extra benefit, it does make you wonder, doesn't it, that maybe had it stopped then, had there been that kind of legislation then, we might not be dealing with this. Now, I'm not saying players wouldn't be paid, but I'm saying you would not be able to say you've got the nest egg that's so much bigger than everybody else that nobody can compete with you. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I guess. But I remember when I was in the SEC, boy, there were so many stories about, you know, John Williams from Crenshaw in L.A. getting $150,000 from LSU.
Right.
Bobby Lee Hurt, 6'10", from Alabama. There was a Coke machine at his high school, and he got all the money from the Coke machine because his principal was an Alabama graduate. You know, Barkley and Chuck Person and you know, the rest of the guys at Auburn, they were doing. I mean, Sonny Smith left Auburn to go to VCU, and they said, why would you leave Auburn to go to VCU? He said, hell, I was cheating at Auburn, and I couldn't win. So, you know, what to tell you? I can tell you, Don DeVoe and I went to Kenny Walker's house, you know, Skywalker, they called him, 6'9", and there was a, you know, patches of grass, and there was a stoop that you had to get onto before you got onto the front porch, and it was just Kenny and his grandfather, and, you know, we lost him, and I wrote him a note. Congrats, you know, I'll be rooting for you, except when you play against Tennessee. And it came back to me, and I sent it again. I thought maybe something was wrong. It came back to me again in the mail, and I talked to Mac McCarthy, assistant at Auburn. I said, what happened to Kenny Walker? He said, oh, didn't you hear? Kentucky bought him a house. So I don't know how many people, you know, would have signed that legislation, and I don't know how many people would have abided by it if there were. You're always going to have people, you know, what they always say, athletics is the window for university. It's also, it's also what people get behind because they keep score. They, if you go out and you sell an insurance, you're an insurance salesman and you sell a policy, that's a win for you. But I mean, if you sell a $10,000 policy to Bill Gates, you know, you probably didn't do as well as you should have. So you can't really tell who's a winner or a loser in business as much as you can in athletics, where they keep score. And, you know, people want to be winners. They want to be associated with winners. They want their team, their alma mater, or their local team to be a winner. And, you know, if you have a lot of money, I just saw where Phil Knight and his wife gave $2 billion to University of Oregon Cancer Center.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little less than he's given to athletics.
Yeah. Well, look, we, Jack, here's the reality. And I think this is what Ramon is getting at, that you do reap what you sow, right? And that collegiate athletics, our friend Robert has mentioned this to me before, and he said, look, no matter what happened in the past, lawyers now would have found a way to force feed these improvements, if you will, and he didn't use that term, but the reality of today would have arrived on everybody's doorstep no matter what. And I understand that, but I am of the belief that if there would have been, and you're correct, because everybody, you know, the old it's give and take, talking you give and I take, right? that if there were an interest in equality long, long ago, where you could have changed the very fabric of collegiate sport before television became such, you talk about a monolithic presence, it changed everything, everything. I mean, I'll never forget, you know this well, when UCLA played Houston in January of 68 in the Astrodome in front of 52,000 people, yes, they put the court in the middle of the Astrodome field, which they should not have. They learned after that, if you're going to be in a dome, put it one side of it. The point was, it wasn't those 52,000 that was the big deal. The big deal was the fact that that was, through Eddie Einhorn and TVS, which is a syndicator, the first true national telecast. And it was Kareem, and it was the UCLA winning streak, and it was Elvin Hayes and those guys in Houston. But what it was, as you know, Jack, was the true birth of, hey, this sport plays well on TV, right?
Yep, and, that's right.
And once that happened, look out. And so you had all this time, basically all this time. You had the 60s, where I think you could have put something together from the mid-60s to the late-60s without much resistance. And you're right, there are pockets of the country. The Southeast, I mean, where basketball, you know, we talk about football, but you and I both know when the Pete Maraviches of the world were running around in the SEC, it was a rather big deal, as you know. And like you said, you coach down there, and they like winning. It doesn't matter what it is, they like winning. And in particular, they like beating the other guys that are down there. I don't know how you would have gotten legislators to be the one, you know, the old, you don't want to be the canary down in the mine, right? That's not what you want.
Exactly, yep.
That's for the next guy to do. But if in theory, you could have gotten everybody together and you could have made the argument since the, like we've said this before, the NBA, the National Basketball Association, meaning it's an association, it is an agreement between 30 owners that they're going to play by the rules. And a lot of times the haves do not appreciate the fact that the have-nots had enough votes to make sure that there was equality there. Well, the NCAA is supposed to be an association, but it never really has been, Jack. And now you turn around and, look, good for Kansas, right, getting $300 million. But, Jack, in the old days before you could pay the players, you might be able to put another fish tank in your lobby. You might be able to improve your stadium. You might be able to improve your amenities, but you could not legally buy more players with that money, right?
Yeah, right. Yes, sir. Yes,
isn't that the cold, hard truth? That if you got $300 million and I got $3 million, if you can only spend $3 million, then I'm at least on equal footing, never mind. But if you get to spend the whole $300 million, what in hell am I? You said it before. Your son, particularly your older son, outstanding basketball player. Well, Jack, you would have been a bad parent if this were. I've told you this before. If your son would have been offered the money, would you not have told him at that time, take it, go wherever they're going to pay you?
Yeah, I never had that decision to make, but I do remember when, you know, he was recruited. We made a visit to St. Louis U. He was going to play for Rick Majerus because Rick really liked his game. And we set up a visit, and we went there. And unfortunately, Rick wasn't there because he was put into the hospital and died 2 or 3 months later. So Alex was bummed out, and Division II school called, Cal State Monterey Bay. And he said, hey, Monterey, that sounds like a pretty nice place. So he made a visit. And I said, look, if you're going to go there, that's where you're going. You're not auditioning, you know, for another school. And his freshman year, he was on the all-tournament team up in Alaska when they played the first three games of the year. And he was freshman of the year in a conference, and he was freshman All-American. And, you know, people were asking, and I said, no, that's where he's going to go. And that's where he stayed. Now, there was no money involved. So, you know, I can't tell you. I know Mike Schwartz called me and said, hey, would he like the red shirt at Fresno State? And I said, yeah, that's really not a step up at the time. So, no, I said, why would he want to do that? You know, why would he want to walk on when he has a scholarship? But you know, I don't know. I just think that, you know, there's something to your word. There's something to going somewhere. And I mean, for in Alex's case, he wouldn't have met the girl he married, who's the mother of his daughter. So, you know, what, you only get one choice, you know, either do it or don't. And he didn't, and it worked out well for him. And he has a good job now, and he's making good money. So,
I don't
had the money been involved, I don't know. Especially when you're talking about, you know, six figures. Then now,
and that's,
you know,
my
now
point.
You're talking about.
If it's a matter of degrees, Jack, no pun intended, okay, because nobody cares about a degree anymore.
Right.
But if it's a matter of an extra $50,000 over 3 years, I get it. But when it is, I mean, look, it is stark when you realize that Fresno State got $1 million donation, which was terrific from De La Serta. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
That somebody... David Booth basically kicks in 300 times that amount, and you're expected as a university, and this isn't even a national power doing this. This is Kansas.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, basketball-wise, absolutely nothing surprises me at Kansas there. But football-wise, most of the time, Kansas has been moribund. Most of the time, back to Big Eight days. Okay, a couple years ago, they were pretty. The point is, you cannot expect anybody, if you're going to be allowed to spend the money without any kind of constraints, and don't hand me this $20.5 million nonsense, because as long as NIL monies are separate, it's just, that's a matter of semantics, okay?
Right, right.
How can you expect anybody across the country to compete? I mean, first of all, the worry, this is where I find the hypocrisy just boiling over the pot, okay? The worry was supposed to be, for the time I was a kid, that while we all understood that amateur sport really wasn't that much amateur sport, it wasn't the bastion of all that's right, but it did have guardrails that meant if you were going to cheat, it had, like we said, it had to be in the back room, not in the main room, right, with the lights on, right? But that what we thought was, what everybody was in agreement about was you didn't want singular individuals to be able to control an athletic department just with their paychecks, just with their checkbook. And, Jack, isn't that exactly what we've done now, allowed a handful of individuals, basically in a figurative sense, to control sport at the collegiate level?
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about a slippery slope. You know, just like you said, when this guy gets his $300 million, he expects, when he makes a phone call, somebody picking up, not going to voicemail. And basically, I think the bottom line is Fresno State should not be able to beat Kansas. I mean, unless Kansas really mismanages a whole lot of money. What you were talking about, the $20.5 million, is what you were talking about. That is the equality. If you didn't allow NIL in addition.
Well, that's the point.
Sure.
But even then, the $20.5 million, a lot of schools can't reach it. But at least, if you want to talk in big boy land, Jack, you might have been able to make it equal.
Yeah.
But if the equivalent of the NBA saying, you know what, you got a salary cap, but also, Kevin Durant, you can cut a separate endorsement deal with the team to make appearances that doesn't count to camp. If you did that, do you know how quickly they'd be able to circumvent everything?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know what it comes down to? It comes down to this. Fresno State should not be able to beat Kansas, and Georgia Southern should not be able to beat Fresno State. There are upsets. There are upsets. But with this NIL and the $20.5 million, you're going to see fewer and fewer upsets. You're not going to see Appalachian State beat Michigan.
Okay, you're right. Okay, you brought up Bill Gates, who is not a monster sports fan. Okay, that, you know, and Phil Knight is okay. But here's the thing, Jack. What if Phil Knight decided that he was going to give Fresno State $500 million? What if he called up Vance Wahlberg tomorrow? You and I have talked to him in regard to what's going on with Ballmer. What if Phil Knight said, you know what, Vance, I don't think he got a fair chance at Pepperdine. I paid attention to it. I want to give you a shot at Fresno State. Here's $500 million. What happens, Jack? How quickly does Fresno State, do they become what I think they would become in a big hurry?
Well, sure, you get better players. I mean, they're players they didn't get because they were outbid. And they got the players they could get within the budget that they had. And they lost players that they had that they thought could really help because they left for more money. So sure, that's going to help. But let me tell you something about not everybody has their price. One of Phil Knight's roommates at Oregon was Red Estes, the legendary track, Hall of Fame track coach at Fresno State.
Great guy, and, by the way, too.
And right, and Red would not take any money from Phil Knight. Phil Knight said, how can I help your program? And Red said, no, we don't want anything from you, Phil. So, you know, Red also, you know, if he was still alive, I think would be near 90. So, and maybe that's for that generation. But, yeah, this generation now, subsequent generations did not feel the same way. Money's the answer, just like Don Allmeyer said.
Right. Well, along those lines, Jack, I brought this up before. Many moons ago when I lived up at Woodward Lake, start of the 90s, which was a fairly new development at that time.
Where I'm sitting now.
Right, exactly. I was over where we actually called it the mistake by the lake because it was too close to Friant Road, so it was our own version of Cleveland Municipal
and
Stadium.
And that's exactly where I am.
We back up to Friant Road. We're not on the water. Okay, this is the late 80s, early 90s. I'm sure it's a lot. Anyway, here's the point. Then you're well aware of this. There are certain parts of the development up there that are behind gates. Other parts are not. And we had a football pool going. This is before it was that easy to gamble. And some of the guys were up there with me at Woodward Lake. And one of the things that I wanted to do, because I had made the football pool so damn complicated that it took an actual spreadsheet like an accountant would have. You know the spreadsheets with the green and white stripes that go across it?
Yeah.
And you had everything. You had over-unders. You had quarter betting. You had all of this stuff on there that it was so damn complex. The joke was that I had put together a pool so complex, only I could understand who won it, and magically it was always someone in my family, all right? Which was BS, by the way, if any of you guys are – they would actually call the show. Actually, the guy called the show, and he goes, I hear Tom's – Tom, how you – Tony, I'm in your football pool. Oh, thanks, Tom. Glad you mentioned that over the air. Okay. Now we quit that long ago, by the way. But anyway, the point is I used to try on Friday nights to drop off this sheet so that people had everybody else's stuff so that everybody knew it was on the up and up. And one of the guys had moved there, and when he was at a certain development up there, and I said, I'm dropping your sheet, and he goes, yeah, bring it on by. And I said, are you behind gates? And he goes, no, gates are for Nazis. Okay, that's what he said. Okay. So I drop off the sheet. The next year, I get ready to drop off the sheet. I call him up, and I said, you same place? He goes, no, we moved over to Chesapeake. And I said,
Okay.
I thought that was behind gates. And he goes, I said, and I said, I thought gates were for Nazis. He goes, no, gates are to keep hooligans like you, meaning me, out. Okay,
yeah.
Jack, there was a universality to that comment, meaning the year before when he wasn't of substantial wealth to be behind the gates, gates were for bad people. The minute he was, however, capable, gates were just there to keep riffraff like me out. I bring this up because if Phil Knight were to go to Vance Wahlberg and say, here's $300 million, or go to Matt Entz and say, here's $300 million, a lot of the people in town, like me, that are angry about NIL would probably be a little more muted in what we would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so, sure.
The truth, or would you be just as indignant? Would you say, I don't care if it benefits my school, I'm still upset about this? What would you say?
No, I don't, you know, having been in college athletics when kids didn't even get their Pell Grant money, you know, they had to fill out the form, right, and the money went back to the school to offset the cost of the scholarship. Now the kids get every cent. It's up to, I think, over $6,000, which is, you know, pretty good deal, $500 a month. Yeah, I would. But I'm from that generation, you know, more of a purist. You know, you want to see people win because they actually outplayed the other team, not because they outspent the other team. So, you know, I think that, yeah, I think you'd have a lot more people in favor of NIL if somebody donated $300 million or half a billion or whatever. I think you'd have a lot more people in favor of NIL, but I think there'd be a lot more pressure to win. I mean, I think if Kansas, since it's the next game, since if Kansas were to beat Fresno State, there'd be a lot more people upset about it if Fresno State had gotten the $300 million instead of Kansas. Now, if Kansas wins, people are going to say, you know what? They had $300 million. We had not even, 1% of that. Let's go beat Georgia Southern, and let's get the rest of the season going and see if we can win the conference.
Right. All right, well, last thing for you about this, and the reason we're talking about it now is because we are in the late period for basketball. Jack, last I checked, I think everybody is in that's supposed to be in basketball-wise. I think the guys from France are in. Is that correct?
If not, definitely by the end of the week. John Welch spoke to our group at length on Monday and said the toughest problem they had was you get 8 weeks. The new rule is you get 8 weeks before your season starts, before your actual practice starts. So 8 weeks in the summer, split up however you want. You can do eight at the beginning. You can do eight at the end. You can split it up. You get 4 hours per week with your team, and that's 4 hours per guy. So if you have, you can go 5-on-5, but that's 4 hours for those 10 guys. Or you can go 3-on-3 and have different groups come in. John said the biggest problem they had was they didn't have many of their foreign players. So, they're better off now than they were last year. Last year they had the same thing. They're better off now, and they're guys, all guys. John said, I believe by the end of the week, you had a couple guys, a guy I think from Slovenia was having a problem, a passport problem or visa problem, and one of the guys from France was coming in either today or tomorrow. But yeah, all the guys will be here by the end of the week. School will start. They'll have their complement. They're 15 guys. They have a full roster. And, John said the summary is we're better shooters and our basketball IQ is higher, but we're not particularly athletic. You're not going to see, you know, guys zipping around over the rim by two feet. But he does think that they can play more like Vance's style, picking up full court, trying to wear teams down, substituting a lot, playing maybe 10 or 11 guys a game, and trying to force turnovers and getting some easy baskets. And they have some guys who can make threes. So basically it's going to be, you know, the scrambling defense that he had played, for the high-pressure defense, a lot of pressure on the ball, don't let people make passes, and, get up and down and see if you can outscore guys.
The issue, Jack, I was going to ask you about, I've said before, every time you want to know the true height or weight, for guys usually take off 2 inches and 25 pounds, except for your centers where you take off 2 inches but you add 25 pounds. They have any idea about the accurate height of these guys coming in, or this waiting to see for sure?
Well, Dave Severance saw, with the Pacers, he had to check out some of these foreign guys. He did see the big guy from France, and he said he is a big body. He said he's not all that athletic, but he is a big body. And John said he has excellent basketball IQ and a nice touch. So he thinks he's going to be, he probably will be the starting center, backed up probably by the guy from Slovenia. And they're thinking that they're, John was a little disappointed because they told him that the guard from France was, I think, 6'1", And John said, you know, I wish he was, because that would make me a lot taller. So possibly he's not as big, you know. Maybe some people were saying he was 6'4". Maybe, you know, you got to shave off a couple inches there. But for the most part, yeah, you know, he said there are a couple guys that do need to put on strength, that they're a little on the thin side. But that's something you can do. And that's something, you know, with strength and conditioning and, you know, food, you know, a lot of food, which probably a lot of guys who were thin were not getting when they were younger. So I think that they can put that on, and maybe the strength, you know, John wonders if they're physical enough, because they found out last year the Mountain West was a pretty physical conference.
Well, you also have to have guys that are 25 pounds overweight that are at the center position and who need to eat right so that they're not that way.
Exactly.
As I let you go, we'll talk next week back on Wednesday. But in the last 60 seconds, if I were to say to you, give me a fair numeric amount that would be able to compensate players, talking about basketball-wise, so we're looking at a roster of 15, and understand it wouldn't be equitable across the board. You're not all going to get the same amount of money. What would be a fair amount so that everybody across the conferences, not some independent somewhere, but across the conferences could compete on equal footing? What would be the fair amount of money? Would it be $5 million a year? What would be a fair amount for competition where everybody could reach it?
Well, I can tell you that. Let's just put it this way for the listeners. Brian Amunike, who was a freshman, was going to redshirt, got $250,000 to go to Wichita State. AC, Crawford got the same to go to Rhode Island. Elijah Price got $390,000 to go to Nevada. So, you know, when you add that up, that's close to $1 million right there for three guys on a team that only won six games. So, yeah, I'd say $5 million if you're talking about conference, if you're talking about Mountain West, but not
right.
Comparing Mountain West to a Power Four. I would say, yeah, that'd be $5 million. I think would certainly would, if everybody was limited to $5 million, limited. But if everybody had $5 million, I think then it would come down to evaluating and giving the right guys the right amount of money.
And that,
but I think that's a good number. Yeah, that's a good number.
And of course, it wouldn't happen because the way things work right now, somebody else would buy them away from another conference. But I'm just talking about in the theoretical world, if you wanted to use the NBA model, you would have to have something that is reachable. But right now, it is not. Jack,
appreciate it as
always. Again, one more time, FertigJack@AOL.com, 559-287-3305. Join the Timeout Club. Jack, thanks for jumping in today at the last moment. I do mean last moment. I'll see you next Wednesday. Take care, my friend.
My pleasure always, Tony. Thanks.
All right, our great friend Jack Ferdy, he will be back with me Wednesday next week. The Giants' next couple of afternoon games are on Thursdays, and boy, are they playing well. We're going to tell you about that, unfortunately, because I have to. Off the break coming up. Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:52, about 3 or 4 minutes on the show. Hand it off to Phil, his outstanding show behind the bench, to full 3 hours today from Fashion Furniture on a Thursday. Again, El Paso, across from River Park, best furniture on the planet. The great conversation of Phil's show. Good eats as well. Stop by and see him. Also, you can give him a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Tell you all about the entirety of the schedule right now for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, Engineering Yardage, the great fundraiser that Ed has for Fresno State football coming up. The last couple of seasons, you have seen for every yard gained through the air at Bulldog Stadium, a donation made to the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. Ed, a proud graduate. A lot of the people that work at Precision Civil Engineering, also grads of the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. Again, the goal of Engineering Yardage to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully. Matter of fact, if you see Ed tonight at the kickoff dinner, tell him thanks for being another one of the people, being part of the solution to try to level the playing field at Fresno State financially the best they possibly can. As far as the lineup goes, the Giants mercifully have the day off. They await the Rays, who have a very quick trip. I'm sure they've already made it from Sacramento down to Oracle. The Giants have lost 12 of their last 13 at home and have essentially played themselves out of any wild card opportunity. We'll see now what Buster Posey does, if after giving Bob Melvin a vote of confidence after the Devers deal, if suddenly Buster decides to make Melvin the scapegoat for this disaster. But the Giants were outscored 20-3 by the Padres over the three games that just wrapped up at Oracle, and the Padres, courtesy of the Angels, who have now beaten the Dodgers seven straight times, including two three-game sweeps the last two times they have met. Padres are in first place now in the NL West, and they and the Dodgers play a three-game set over the weekend. For us, Giants and the Rays tomorrow on 14:30. The A's, also at home, will have the Angels coming in riding the crest of the emotional wins they had over the Dodgers. That's the lineup tomorrow. I'll tell you about the specifics tomorrow in that regard. The other reminders, of course, Phil, not only at Fashion Furniture today, 65th anniversary, by the way, of that great establishment, Fashion Furniture, but you have Phil Monday through Friday, usually 3 to 6, sometimes behind the bench has moved around a bit because of play-by-play. You can reach Phil at, one more time, the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. It's also how we bring up the guests for all shows. And more information, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Get the live links and podcast there. And also grab the app if you can. And Paul Meadows has now come back as of August 9th with his fine show on Saturday morning, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon from First String Sports on 1430. We are with you on the 2 o'clock hour, Monday through Friday. Has been that way for a long time. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. And again, I want to remind you about the critically important NIL monies. Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, bread.com. Also reminds you, the Grizzlies have one more broadcast with us over the weekend before their season wraps up. 49ers, Raiders, and Rams. The Rams looking very carefully at Stafford and that back of his. They'll have all their regular season games on our air on both stations between 1430 and 790. And everything, of course, from Westwood One all the way through the Super Bowl. Same applies with ESPN Radio for everything through the World Series. And, of course, the Lakers will be back in action toward the end of October. Look forward to that as well. And now the final reminder comes courtesy of our friends at KFC. One more time, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, celebrating F1, the movie right now, the great Brad Pitt endeavor. They have the $7 Phillips. That special is back for a limited time. You choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Each come with drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Also top it all up with peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. That's brand new. That's every day right now. Also the Tuesday deal still in place. Been that way for a good long while. $10 for the bucket of 8 pieces of dark meat chicken, extra crispy or original recipe, or 8 tenders. Take your pick either way. Again, we're talking about the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Very important. Really appreciate everything they're doing. If you stop by for a bucket or two, tell them thanks. And speaking of thanks, not only goes out to those local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, but thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, the local operators of Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing all over Central Valley and Northern California. And thanks, as always, to Jorge for his great work on the board, and Jack Fertig as well. It will be Jackson with me to talk football tomorrow. I hope you're going to the kickoff dinner tonight. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And Phil is coming up right now from Fashion Furniture. Stop by and see him. This is KFIG Fresno.